Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, you be both win.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. The only podcast that really matters when it comes to Vanderpump Rules. I'm here with a friend of the pod, fellow genius, artist, and pump head, Simon Haas.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to have you back on an episode.
Oh my God, I'm thrilled to be back.
Simon did an episode recapping season two, or was it season one?
It was the one where they fought in the at the Grove.
That was season one.
Yeah.
And when Sheena and Erica got matching tattoos.
Yes. I was so happy to be part of that one. I think that's one of my favorite episodes.
It really, Azusa really spoke to you.
Uh-huh.
And you found the tattoo parlor.
I did. I looked it up.
You looked it up on Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally like in the Dust Bowl.
It was. It was a converted house. I think they were operating it out of the kitchen of that house. Yeah.
Iconic.
I want to go.
Yeah. Would you get a tattoo?
Yeah, I'll get her tattoo.
Get a hummingbird.
I will.
I feel like now more of the cast have, like, they have hummingbird tattoos.
Really?
Someone else, I think, recently got a hummingbird tattoo, and I was like, oh, how Sheena of you.
Ooh, yeah, it is.
I now only associate hummingbirds with Sheena and her mom.
I need to investigate that, but I think I need one.
Yeah, you definitely need one. Would you get it like on your neck, like behind your ear?
Yeah, I think I complained about that last time, but I do need that.
Mm-hmm. A neck tattoo, like for some reason they've come around and they feel chic and very of the moment.
Uh-huh.
Who knew that Sheena was such a trendsetter?
I mean, she really is.
She's killing it this season.
I am obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. I have to pause it and like go back a million times when I watch her eat something or like anytime she moves her fingernails around.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Like I feel like she's performing for the camera trying to look cute while she eats her drinks and it's completely backfiring and I am like living for it.
Yeah. Every move Sheena makes is calculated.
It is.
She's never not thinking like 12 steps ahead, mm-hmm. Bobby Fischer style. But I love seeing the wheels turning because she is like the most kind of on guard of all of the cast members, mm-hmm. but she can't help her, like, she will never be able to not really look or kind of come across badly.
Yeah.
I mean, even, and I say badly in like a, the best way possible.
Yeah, of course. I mean, she wants effortless, and yeah. And that's not happening.
No, effortless has never been.
That's why I'm watching.
Sheena is a performance artist. Uh-huh. She's the Marina Abramovich of this fucking show. She needs to do the, like, the artist is present uh-huh. at Tom Tom in, like, the should. Back.
I want to sit directly across from her while she's doing that fake orgasm.
Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing.
The artist is present in, like, one of those really dark, shitty acting, like, studios uh-huh. off of Melrose. That would be powerful. I'm waiting for one of them to do some sort of like public art moment.
They really should.
Like, people would line up and pay so much money for that.
I'll be there.
Yeah. I'll see you there.
Okay. Oh my God. And you were in this show.
Yeah.
I freaked out.
I made an appearance with a speaking line. Delicious.
You did. Delicious. You were incredible.
Thank you.
It's making me nervous to be doing this with you right now.
My star power is yeah. overwhelming. I know. Life has really changed for me since then. I felt much more of a pressure to like be glam mm-hmm. at all times and like really have like hair and makeup if I go out in public or if yeah. I'm on like social media.
It gets harder.
It does get harder. I need to put that on my IMDb. That's actually been on my to-do list for a long time.
You should.
Yeah. I need a reel that would just be like me saying that.
Delicious.
Delicious. Which was in reference, I was told to say it in reference to one dish. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I didn't have to get that associated with me saying delicious about a dish that I did not actually think was delicious.
That's good. Yeah. Is it the dish that Lisa cooked herself and showed the chef how to make?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like everyone should, I mean, to each his and her own, mm-hmm. their own, but like, don't, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
It's not my number one Tom Tom choice.
I mean, I haven't eaten there yet, but I'm happy that it demystified for me because there was something at Sur says Lisa's chopped salad or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if it's actually hers. And now there's proof that she is creating those dishes.
Yeah. I think if Lisa is marketed as being involved in any menu item, that's a sign that like you shouldn't go down that road.
That's probably true.
It's like, it's interesting because it's food that just tastes good to her uh-huh. and no one else.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one has like the balls to be like, we don't like this, like please, like let's not put it on the menu. So yeah. She just gets to put things on the menu that literally are menu items that like make no mm-hmm. no food sense.
She's forcing that chef to put it on the specials list.
Can you imagine being a chef, like going to culinary school and having like a background as a chef, getting hired at a restaurant only to have Lisa Vanderpump like tell you that you have to make like her gross potato salad?
Oh my God, no, I would be so bummed. And that like the pride she has when she flicks her hair and is like, you can spice it up with, take it up a notch with some chili flakes. It's like, those are in a pizza box. That's not exciting.
That's like me in my kitchen, how I like spice things up every once in a while. I like put pink Himalayan salt on mm-hmm. something and feel like fucking Gwyneth. And but would I go to a restaurant and tell them to do that? Never in a million years.
Oh my God.
I like Lisa's thought that like a restaurant exists to serve her taste specifically. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing something right. I've yeah. spent so much money at all of her establishments.
Me too. I think that Sur and Pump are like my two most visited restaurants.
Oh, definitely.
If I'm physically going somewhere, it's one of those restaurants.
Yeah, it used to be Pump for me, and then Tom Tom came around, and now nothing else matters except for Tom Tom.
I can't believe I haven't tried it yet.
Then. I know that this feels like a real missed opportunity. We need to get you to Tom Tom mm-hmm. ASAP.
I'm going this week.
Okay, good. Let's get into this episode because it was actually, okay, I'm saying this show is back. It's bounced back.
It is.
And I don't know what took people so long. I don't want to hold a grudge, but I do feel betrayed. But I'm just happy that we're like back in a good place.
Me too.
At least for the last like 5 episodes.
I know I kind of like was skipping out on episodes and I was mad at myself for that.
Yeah.
I'm a pump head.
I am too. But I mean, it was... The season was really boring and draggy for a while. Mm. And then it made my job to like talk about it also suck because I was like, I hate, like, what am I doing here? Uh-huh. But today I'm back in love. Good. And I'm happy with this show and I have a lot to say. This episode gate like served every element that you need of a good episode of Vanderpump Rules.
I got a lot out of it.
I cried. I laughed. It was amazing. The opening song really set the tone. It was like, we're making moves, money moves, which is like that's like one of the first like notable songs of the season. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like the background music, I feel like, has always been on point. And even when that starts to dip, then you know that mm-hmm. like we're not in a good place.
They're not trying anymore.
Mm-mm. So they're still in this episode making them perform as waiters and waitresses.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most stage. The firing of, I don't know if I'm skipping ahead, but firing Tom and his whole interaction there. He's not the best actor.
Oh, yeah, no, he is not the best actor. And that scene was really bad.
It was bad. He's like, I don't want to give up my shift. I mean, I have never seen, I've been enough to know whether they work there or not, and they don't.
Yeah,
I mean, a couple of them do.
Yeah, I think every once in a while, maybe, but I feel like at this point in the game, like, they are all called in to work on the same nights, like, so that they can shoot together. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're sitting at a table, maybe Sheena comes and interacts with you once, but you mm-hmm. have a different waiter that's, like, tending to your needs.
Yeah, exactly.
It begins, too, with Sheena's, like, Chili's protocol. She's like, corner, corner.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And she's like, you have to say that when you work at Chili's, because otherwise, if you don't, you'll get fired. You'll get written up.
And I love, like, I need a documentary about all their past waiter and waitressing yes.
careers.
Ugh. Between Hooters and Chili's.
Hooters and Chili's. I feel like we got a glimpse at Kristen's resume in season 2 once, and where she listed as one of her, like, special like qualities was like advanced knowledge of beer and wine. Uh-huh. And she had listed, like, she had worked at a bunch of other restaurants, so like I would love like a E! True Hollywood Story restaurant edition.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Because I think Tom Sandoval worked at TGI Fridays.
Really? That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like they all came up through like a chain restaurant. Shit. Kind of background.
Olive Garden.
Yeah. Like, who worked at Red Lobster, uh-huh. which totally tracks, because like Lisa's restaurant model is like a TGI Fridays.
It is.
Like like the TGI Fridays of Times Square.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Sir.
It really is.
And Katie Maloney strikes again when she and Lisa have like they make it seem like she's waiting on her and Ken.
Uh-huh. I love this scene.
And Lisa's like, why don't you do, like, let's make this a weekly thing, like uh-huh. girls' night. And then she's like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, which, I mean, Katie, what did she just want to prove that she could do it once and still bring people in?
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
She just wanted to prove that, like, she had the same star power as James.
I mean, one night a week does not sound that bad.
It's not that bad. You make a flyer and then you show up.
Yeah. She wouldn't even do it for twice a month.
No.
What did she say? Like I want to put a pin in it and readdress it somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
She's not.
Yeah. Like, what other projects are taking up a lot of your time? Like, you're filming this show and, like, you certainly haven't updated your blog in, like, months.
And she'd probably make bank on that.
I mean, I wonder if they do get a share of the bar or if it is just like a clout thing.
I mean, if I were the business owner, I would give them a share.
Yeah.
Because they're drawing people in and it still looks like they work there.
And I love Katie, too. And she's like, I mean, look around. It's a Tuesday night at CERN. It seems to be doing fine.
We're fine.
It's like, this is not the same.
Mm-hmm. They want it bumping.
They want it bumping, packed with crowds, screaming and taking tons of photos. I mean, Katie just is really suffering from a case of like this bitch disease.
Yeah, she is. But Lisa shows her that by handing her her dirty plate.
I loved that. That was amazing. Power move.
She's like, all right, you can take this, you know.
Take this away now. And Katie's kind of like, I wasn't supposed to be like a waitress. I thought we were just going to pretend waitress. I mean, I I'm into the power struggle and the waiter waitress if you actually give them like troll jobs to have to do. Because her face at the end of that scene too was like, really?
She wasn't happy.
No. James comes over. This scene where James is at Sandoval and Ariana's too. Like, you could not even like write that scene in like a movie.
It was perfect.
It was chef's kiss level, just like perfection.
And also, this was the first time I like re-realized that they're still in that apartment. It's the same apartment.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, wait, there's one of those in-wall air conditioning units.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, the door has spackle all around the edge.
Yeah.
The one that he keeps going in and out of. Drew a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, the door, there's like a lot of paint chipping off. Uh-huh. And like, then, and I love like the air conditioner that's right next to the couch. So you like to have to just sit in front of like a loud unit. And it seems always like they're all very hot in that apartment, which I imagine it to be like a microwave.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, Ariana's sitting, is like having to sit right in front of it.
Mm-hmm. That's where I would be sitting. Otherwise I'd be sweating like a pig. I think it's like, I wonder if other viewers have the experience of like forgetting that they live there and then being re-traumatized.
And for me, it's like, I was like, oh, I have a nostalgia because sometimes when I see them driving fancy cars and like the apartment on King's Road that they all have that I drive by like every day, basically. Mm-hmm. Is so much nicer, the one that Jax lives in.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy to see that. It's like bringing me, it's grounding me.
Yeah, I've had a lot of like highs and lows when it comes to my feelings about like their career glow ups and like bank account glow ups. Uh-huh. But I feel like I'm landing in a place of like highs and happiness about the whole thing. Like, I'm here to support as long as we can see the truth and like the darkness of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I support them having like all the money they need and want and living in the houses of their dreams, driving their dream cars and like, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. James shits on Mexico trip. Uh-huh. This is like what I tune into Vanderpump Rules to watch James do is like, he's like, I'm sure Tom and Katie fought all the time, just a fat married couple. And then it flashes back with an editor troll. And there's like a drunk Halsey Kristen horsing around.
Yeah, horsey dozy Kristen.
He goes, what? I don't need it. He's the court jester of the show.
He is.
Bringing everyone down to the like level, like evening the playing field. Mm-hmm. And I think it works to have him, like, the tension between, like, him not getting his, like, DJ night anymore and being X'd out of, like, social functions. This is actually now serving its purpose.
It definitely is. I mean, it's with Kristen being no longer, like, crazy Kristen, I needed him in this show to be in this for me.
Someone has to pick up the slack. Uh-huh. And then he leaves. Oh, wait, no. Well, Ariana talks to him. She's like, he's like, what are you doing today? And she's like, I'm actually going to go get a drink with Kristen and go to Lala's thing. And he goes, oh, wow. Like pretending to be like happy for her. Mm-hmm. But then he explodes, leaves, and then comes back.
Uh-huh. And like after he slams the door, she's like, Oh, okay. Or I don't remember what she says. Yeah, she's like, what the fuck?
He's like, great, we're no longer friends anymore. Well, that's the end of me. Goodbye. And like, leaves.
As if he has some kind of like power play with that. They have no skin in whatever game he's playing right now because they're just delivering a message that has nothing to do with them.
No. And I think that I have a feeling that James is not ever going to get his job back at See You Next Tuesday. Like, he's fully done in that environment. I don't think he's going to be off the show. I pray that he's not off the show next season. But, like, I think they're just trying to prepare him for, like, this is the first day of the rest of your life. Like, you better figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lisa decidedly doesn't want to be an enabler anymore.
Yeah.
And she's, now that's where she is.
I respect that decision.
Me too, yeah.
I kind of was like, I didn't love how the axe came down on him and like having it be like due to Katie, because I feel like she played too much of a role and Katie doesn't truly give a shit about James and his like well-being. But Lisa really does. Mm-hmm. So to see her being like, you are actively drinking and like, I refuse to support that is like a baller move.
It is really good. That's another reason though, why Katie's move of not wanting girls' night is kind of fucked up, because she did like insert herself so much.
Oh, completely.
In James's reality. And then like, yeah.
It was truly just a fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do this to fuck with your life. Ha ha move, which is really evil when you think about it.
It is evil.
Like, who has the time and the energy to devote that much to just wedging the knife into another person?
Yeah.
It's not for me.
No, me neither.
I feel like you can do that way easier ways by just like talking shit about them or like making fun of them and like not actually taking like food out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, I cannot, like, Katie has some moments. Like, I'll skip, like, skipping ahead a little bit when she's like explaining Stassi's like big dilemma with her like dark passenger, where I'm like, wow, she is kind of like intuitive and like understands what's going on and kind of is able to vocalize that in a way that makes her sound like smarter than she is. But then you realize, like, no, she's not. Like, why does she allow herself to like succumb to her own dark passenger, which is just like be cruel to other people.
Really cruel. Even like when she was discussing Tom's penis size and like did it with her fingers, I was like, I would never do that on camera about somebody that I'm married to.
Could you believe?
Are you kidding me?
And the shit that they say to each other and her just like sucking down a vodka cranberry and then like being like, I'm taking my ring off. Like, it's just a no.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even, like, I used to really enjoy watching her, and now I'm like, she's mostly just bothering me.
Yeah, it just doesn't, like, I like her and Tom fighting, I like, in just, like, a sick, sad way, which is, like, that I don't necessarily feel good about for myself, but I do enjoy it. And, like, anytime that there's a chance for, like, an editor troll of her, I'm here for it. But she just is, like, not bringing anything to this show except terrible outfits.
Oh my god, her hat in this episode.
Her beret.
That was so, it was like a wicker beret.
It was really stiff. James is definitely going to be fired from Sir for good. And I love when like, they say, well, later in the episode, Tom's like, what would you do if, like, you got, if you, like, couldn't go back to Sir? And James is like, I have to get a whole new life.
Yeah.
Like, you actually, like, don't.
I know, he doesn't.
It's like,
he's still there. It's all good.
Yeah. Like, you're still on the show. Don't worry.
And I mean, I hope he's not hinging everything on See You Next Tuesday.
It sounds like he is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, babe, dream bigger. Uh-huh. Like, that. You've been to See You Next Tuesday?
No,
or have you been? Oh, okay.
I haven't.
Well, the dance floor that it, like, that the DJ area happens in holds like 20 people comfortably. And, like, he can draw way more of a crowd than that. Like, he's DJing Hollywood nightclubs now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would rather go see him somewhere else where he can shine.
Yeah, where his talents can be really appreciated. Uh-huh. Like a mega club in Mexico. Uh-huh. I mean, I think he DJed at someone's party at Coachella. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and Raquel are living their best lives, like flew into Coachella on a helicopter.
Wow.
So like...
That's good.
See you next two.
Yeah.
Stassi is doing a photo shoot for her book, mm-hmm. which is out this week. Is it out this week? I need to make doubly sure.
I'm excited for it.
It is out. Yes. Okay. Yes. So we can fully talk about it. We're going to really dive into Stassi's book in the bonus episode just for all the listeners. So
I can't wait.
But we see her photo shoot. Her photo shoot and everything that happens is very much tied in with her book release. And she like really was killing it at the photo shoot.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to use her affirmation. I'm a pretty, pretty princess.
Yeah.
In the mirror.
I was inspired by that as well. Like, I'm kind of slowly becoming team Stassi.
Me too.
Just something I never thought I would say, but I admire her like dedication to personal growth.
Mm-hmm. She really tries.
She's trying, and I think her capabilities are limited given what her career is and like et cetera, et cetera. But like, she's evolving.
Mm-hmm. And she's doing it. I mean, take Katie not wanting to do once a week, and then we have Stassi who's doing a book and she has a podcast.
She's getting exercise. Uh-huh.
She's creating her own day, her yeah. own national holiday.
Oh my God. We have to, in her book, she says that, do you know how much that cost her to make her national holiday?
No.
It cost her $17,000.
Are you kidding me?
You have to buy it. You Whoa. Can't just like register something and have it. Oh, I think it was God. Either 16 grand or 17 grand.
Damn.
Either way, that's like a hefty fee.
That is really hefty. I was wondering too when she was like, Lisa doesn't even have her own holiday. And I was like, well, what about World Dog Day? But I don't think World Dog Day was ever purchased.
No. And I wondered like, what can you get out of like, when you buy a holiday, I guess maybe you get the right to like trademark it mm-hmm. and then you'll make money off of it down the line.
If anyone wants to like associate with your holiday, they yeah, have to pay you.
They have to pay you.
I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah. But I was like, that's a lot of money to throw at like a hashtag.
That's crazy.
That literally tons of people use.
Yeah.
Just for free.
She's dedicated.
She's a hustler. Uh-huh. And like, I feel like instead of being trolled by her hustle, I'm inspired uh-huh. to like up my hustle game.
Yeah.
Because we're not that different, Stassi and I, if you really think about it. Which is scary, but I'm just going to give in to it.
Yeah, embrace it.
I'm going to embrace it. I'd rather be a Stassi than a Katie.
Oh my God, yeah. Obviously.
Katie and Bo show up to the photo shoot to help Stassi take the best picture possible by talking shit about Raquel and James's puppy shower, uh-huh. which I'm conflicted about because I feel like a puppy shower is something all these bitches would have done uh-huh. back
and
in the day.
Cute. I would almost do that for my dog.
I mean, I would go to your puppy shower. I would fully go to anyone's puppy shower.
I think it's really sweet.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Raquel getting turned down for all that.
Yeah. Well, I expected like no one to show up, mm-hmm. but then tons of people showed up.
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah. It was a raging success as far as puppy showers go.
But I'm glad it was at least able to fuel Stassi.
Definitely. And I love the flyer.
For the puppies?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Come, sit, and stay. Mm-hmm. With those photos of James and Raquel.
But he's like, these were so expensive, the flyers.
I printed them. I printed hundreds of them. Why did you print hundreds of them if you're going to have it at your apartment? Uh-huh. Like, this is a house party in an apartment which like can't even hold this like capacity.
He's chasing the dragon of See You Next Tuesday.
Yeah. It's very misplaced, yeah. This energy. I'm like, babe, focus on like something you can DJ. Which I think it's a missed opportunity that he didn't DJ the puppy shower.
Yeah, that's true.
Or at least have some sort of like playlist going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really needs to get over this, like, see you next Tuesday bump in the road and on to bigger and better things.
Definitely.
Because it's holding him back, his attachments to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Oprah would say, feel how badly you want it and let yourself want it and recognize that, but then let it go.
Wow. I love that advice.
I feel like James could really benefit.
He needs it.
I want James to get so big and famous that he eventually has like an Oprah Super Soul Sunday.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. He could have his own spinoff too. I would definitely watch.
Oh.
If it's just his DJ exploits.
Yeah.
I would be super into it.
The road to him just like becoming like the next Diplo.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Ugh. I just imagine like what like a sizzle reel would look like for that. I love that Stassi, there's been no footage of her actually writing this book.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she wrote it?
I think she wrote some of it, mm-hmm. but in the back of the book, she, because I was like, I felt really trolled when the book was announced, because mm-hmm. like as someone who's written books and like is working on another book project, I was just like, what the fuck? Like went down a true dark K-hole spiral.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, oh my God, did she use a ghostwriter, blah, blah, blah. And then I immediately like pored over every inch of the book as soon as it arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And she thanks her like quote unquote co-conspirator.
Uh-huh.
And then in like the acknowledgement section. So then I looked up who that person is and it's a ghostwriter.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And some of the book feels like it uses a lot of terms that just feel like, I don't think Stassi wrote this. Like it's so like using AF and like mm-hmm. frickin'
uh-huh.
so much that it's like trying to overcompensate uh-huh. for like, and make it sound more Stassi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But then that meme, I was like, okay, I can like breathe easy.
Good.
And just like let her have this win.
Yeah, she can take it. And also we can learn from her again.
Yeah.
But just accept what you're not going to be good at and get somebody else to do it.
Ask for help. That's a huge takeaway. Because sometimes you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another inspiring lesson from Stassi Schroeder. Katie and Beau have a side conversation that felt really like awkwardly introed by Katie being like, what do you think, what's it like for you to date an author?
Mm-hmm. I was jarred by hearing author in relation to Stassi.
Yeah. I had like a small, like little animalistic involuntary shudder. And also I'm like, Katie, why are you just like the sidekick? Like, uh-huh. why don't you do something?
Uh-huh.
What's your job right now? Because you're really like overly involved in like Stassi's endeavors.
Uh-huh. She is.
Like, take some space, figure out what your passions are, and then like go. I would love to see her like with a passion of some sort.
Yeah.
That doesn't just involve like taking people down.
Uh-huh. I think that's all she's doing.
Yeah.
So do you think she was being mean when she said that to Beau?
I don't think so. Like, I feel like she and Stassi genuinely have, like, they have, like, a female friendship that's strong, but mm-hmm. probably, like, very codependent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always interesting to me that Stassi, I think, is pretty much younger than Katie.
Really?
Or, I mean, Katie's probably, Kristen's, like, 36. Whoa. Stassi's 30. I think Katie's, like, 34 or 35.
Okay.
Like, Stassi was the young, mm-hmm. like, evil, mean girl yeah. when the show first started. And Katie has had, like, no personal growth over the course of Vanderpump Rules.
No, zero.
Like, she's the same person, just, like, a little less drunk.
Yeah.
And a little less slut-shamey.
Uh-huh.
But still, like, very evil.
She is. She is the dark passenger.
Yeah. Like, I was like, during the Oracle scene, I was like, can you quickly address, like, Katie uh-huh. right now and, like, do some sort of shamanistic thing to her?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't let her in the door at first.
That was incredible.
Maybe that was a good sign.
She's like, before you come in, I just need you to stand outside.
You're going to need some extra work.
She had to like clear the space and then really understand that she was allowing like the darkest cloud of all uh-huh. to just sit there and watch, which like if I was having shamanic surgery, I want no spectators.
Uh-huh. Me neither.
I want just me and the shaman or mm-hmm. the oracle and like, let's just fucking do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tear me open and rip that fucking dark cloud out of my soul.
But the dark cloud came and sat across from her.
And was like a little Mario cloud.
Oh yeah, I loved Mario cloud.
Maybe the best scene of this whole episode was Brittany and Jax in therapy.
Mm-hmm. I'm like amazed when I see a therapist on TV. It just makes me question everything about the therapist.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, but I'm into watching it.
I'm really into watching it. I feel like Lindsay Rosenthal, she like clearly needs the money. Mm-hmm. She hates her life, mm-hmm, and is like, who are these people?
Yeah.
She's like 9 months pregnant in like the hottest time of the year with just another tiny air conditioning unit built into the wall. Like blowing right into the back of her patient's head, which is the least soothing thing I could imagine during like trying to work out my therapeutic issues. And she looks pretty miserable the entire time.
Yeah.
Because I think also this is like maybe the third time she's ever seen Jax and Brittany.
Yeah.
And potentially the last time she'll ever see them.
Probably. And she was like, yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes couples seek out couples therapy because of issues that need to be brought up. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on.
But I don't think they know that.
No.
I don't know what Brittany thinks therapy is. Uh-huh. But I don't, and like, I don't think Jax has a real handle on what therapy is either.
No, at least they're trying.
At least they're trying. He seems so shocked whenever something like remotely controversial gets like brought up to his attention.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, his self-awareness is pretty lacking.
I could like write an entire thesis, like study on just the scene alone. Uh-huh. Cause like Brittany thinks it starts with her being like, the engagement party's happening and we have 20 family members flying out. And this is just the perfect time to show them how great Jax and I are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, bitch, I hope so. Like you guys are getting married.
Yeah.
This is not like they're coming out to just like visit and like have a meet and greet of the families.
And he needs to try hard because he has never shown good face in front of her family.
Yeah. But then she says her mother and grandmother love Jax and he can do no wrong in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's terrifying because they just take his side and like basically Brittany has to shoulder the blame for everything bad Jax does.
Mm-hmm.
And then her dad doesn't like him and doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
Which is like rightly so.
Yeah, he's right.
And we got a flashback to Don, Brittany's dad, and I just miss Don. I think he's really hot.
Yeah, I love him.
Did you watch Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I loved
it. So you know about Don.
I love him.
Yeah. I love his glasses and just like his vibe,
mm-hmm,
his t-shirts. And
oh my God, I loved that spinoff.
Did you?
I know it was brief, but I loved it.
It was a flash in the pan. I think I have a lot of appreciation for it in retrospect
because
it did like paint a very clear picture of what's been simmering underneath and behind the scenes for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still remember the christening of the gazebo and Jax like storming off, but like just a few feet away
to stew and really bring down the energy of Papa's beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He like, also we just have never, we've gone this whole season being told like Jax is a different person. There's been no like real moments between Jax and Brittany. It's just been really like filler, like fluffiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt like some sweet redemption to finally get a glimpse into like this circle of hell that is their relationship.
Yeah, it's bad.
He says that he's like goes on a rant and says he's not one of those people that's just talking about how changed he is, which is categorically false.
Uh-huh.
Then he says that cheating on Brittany made her a stronger person.
Oh, well, that's great.
The therapist's face during that moment was just like... She went to the sunken place.
Oh, she did. And he was like blindsided by her saying she still has trust issues.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah. Well, none of us. It's not our first time hearing about that.
Yeah. And also, like, if that's the first time he's hearing about it, it's like a really probably bad sign for everyone.
100%.
Because she doesn't feel comfortable enough in their relationship to even like broach that subject without like a medical professional like in the same room.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like this therapy session is just a venue for her to finally get to say something.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
To say one thing. No, I don't want that either. Because she has to be like, well, I do think you're doing good though. Uh-huh. And like pat his hand and kind of always walk back any mm-hmm. statement that she says. And it's just, I feel like we saw this with Katie and Tom a little bit too, mm-hmm. where a woman leans so hard into wanting a wedding mm-hmm. that it's like, I'll let everything else go at this point.
Yeah.
Because the wedding and the party is all that really matters.
And that doesn't work out well.
That's never worked out. I don't think for anyone.
No, definitely not.
Like, no one gets married and then their problems are solved.
Right. I mean, if anything, it just puts it in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Which we saw in Mexico.
Totally. Yeah, you can see the therapist dying on the inside and like... just like a frozen face is like beads of sweat like pour down her face from that little microwave office room. I was like, why are you letting people see your name? Like, I would use a fake name. Uh-huh. Who do you think is watching the show and then they're like, they turn to their significant other and they're like, babe, we should go see Lindsay Rosenthal.
Yeah, seriously. No way.
No.
I wonder if she gets business off that. That would be wild.
I'm sure some like psychotic people uh-huh. have now been like, we gotta go. Like, yeah. She's really helping them. Uh-huh. But like, what, like, I need people to scratch the surface of this like iceberg mm-hmm. that is Jax and Brittany a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't try to get anything out of Jax, really.
I don't think you even really have to try uh-huh. because if you put any pressure on it, it starts to just like totally crack.
Yeah.
So
his face turns red.
Yeah. He gets like that clenched uh-huh. jaw and like the rage just starts to like bubble up.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he started talking about the lost keys.
Mm-hmm. I hated what he said. He's like, I need to like yell at somebody and Brittany's just in the way or something. She just happens to be in the way. I hated him for that.
Yeah. I hated him for this entire thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like back to square one. I just like, I'm like, how can Brittany think that she's a stronger like person for putting up with all of this and just like shoving down her real feelings and moving forward mm-hmm. as though like everything's fine and great and we're like on the path to getting married and like all that bad stuff is behind us.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not, because even like I'm thinking back to now earlier this season when anyone pressed her about it, she came apart at the seams.
Yeah, when she had to leave the apartment. What were they? Oh, they were making the girls' night flyer, right?
Yeah,
and she had
so
to...
much work.
Oh my god.
I love too that it was like five people working on this night uh-huh. and it was still just like too much work uh-huh. for Katie to commit.
Why don't they split up and each do one every 5 weeks? That's amazing.
Let's just put a pin in this uh-huh. and we'll circle back yeah. at a more appropriate time. I love it. Katie, do you think you're in like the boardroom right now? Yeah. Like, this isn't the fucking Apprentice. Yeah, I think this gives me high hopes for next season of Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. And I pray that someone will just like, some producer will have the guts to like lean in and put the pressure on Jax and Brittany. Because mm-hmm. like, they are going to get married. It's not like they're going to not get married.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're going to quit the show if like someone tries to figure out or just like show honestly what their relationship dynamic yeah. is. Like none of them, like I don't think any of the Vanderpumpers are in a position to quit this show.
No. Oh, they would never quit.
Yeah. Like this is now they're making huge money.
Yeah.
So like, but I feel like someone has given them the perception that they have some sort of bargaining power in like how they're portrayed
mm-hmm.
and like, that needs to be swiftly rescinded uh-huh. and someone needs to like give them back the appetizer plate.
Uh-huh.
Kristen and Ariana go on a date, and I really like loved this moment, mm-hmm. but also cringed at this moment.
I mean, it's cute that they're hanging out.
Yeah. And I'm glad to see them putting their drama behind them.
Me too. I mean, that it was intense drama. And I mean, also like that it's coming around at the time that Lala is having her dad freak out. I was like, wow, Ariana actually handled that so well. I don't think I realized that when I watched that.
No, she didn't say anything about it.
Kristen went ham on her, and it that was intense. I would never want to be in Ariana's position.
No, never. I cannot imagine what that would be like. Mm-hmm. Like, that is true hell.
Yeah.
And like, just not. And now it kind of puts into context all her kind of guardedness throughout this series, because I don't know. I just have like a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, I've come to really like her a lot.
Mm-hmm. And like, I'm here. I'm glad that she's opening up and like letting us in as mm-hmm. viewers. And it really fleshes out just like her journey as a person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Carrie and I were watching and we were like, wow, she's like way too level to be on this show.
Yeah.
And even when she was drunk, she was so much fun.
She's so fun.
I wanted to hang out with her.
And like a sweet person. Uh-huh. And just like, I'm like putting myself in her shoes. Like if someone was to like poke me in the way Dodie was doing it, uh-huh. I would flip the fuck out. Yeah. I would like strangle her.
Yeah, me too.
There's no chance that I would be able to like hold back and not just like lose all of my shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just perfectly like contained. Even keeled. Damn.
She's great. And I think that it's like also, I love that she's actually letting this happen with Kristen, because Kristen, I mean, I love her so much, but I feel like she's getting pushed further and further to the side with everybody.
Yeah.
And getting kind of forgotten. And Ariana's like making sure that she still feels a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And she went and counseled Lala. She's like, if you ever feel like you're seeing red, you should come talk to me first. That was in Mexico, but I'm really appreciate, like, Ariana's doing more for them than this therapist ever could. Or, I mean, I love her right now.
Yeah. And in like a really non-judgmental way,
yeah.
Which is really interesting, because like, I'm definitely super judgy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I make a podcast that's literally judging the shit out of all these people. But like, she is like, and I would register her with like sometimes like no emotion, or she just like doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But really, she's just kind of being like objective and giving people a lot of space to like say their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's not trying to pressure them either way about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Even when Kristen was like, today's not actually the day. And she's like, yeah, it is. And then Kristen's like, whoa, I like remember that. And uh-huh. You're kind of cringing because she goes into like her total Dodie place where she's uh-huh. like, I mean, I just like wanted to be with my fucking boyfriend, you know? Uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, like, I get it.
Oh my God. Kristen's internal meltdown.
Kristen also kind of being able to make fun of herself is a delight to see.
It is. It shows a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel proud of her.
I feel proud of her. Like, I feel like she's always going to be, like, I'm happy. I'm here for, like, Mariposa Kristen.
Uh-huh.
But I don't say this in a negative way, really. I think it's, like, an essential part of, like, her personality and her passion mm-hmm. for life. Like, maybe we rename it. It's not, like, crazy Kristen. It's just, like, passionate Kristen.
Yeah.
Who will never stop fighting for what she believes in.
Yeah.
And, like, that. I don't want that to like be shoved down in
no
service
way.
Of like chill Kristen.
No, me neither. I'm just happy for her that she's not like blowing things up and getting herself in too much trouble anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's not good for her.
No.
She feels a lot.
And if you go back to like past seasons, it's like Kristen was suffering from like mental health issues.
She was, yeah.
Like, and I'm glad that she's just like out of that place.
Oh my God, me too.
Like, I'm here for her like getting drunk and like falling over a table mm-hmm. and then she like chills out like the next time mm-hmm. and like learns from that mistake. But yeah, I don't think, I mean, could I watch another season of this? Yes, but like, I don't want that for her.
No, she's too fragile.
Yeah. Oh, and then it really has like, there's a beautiful moment where Kristen admits that Tom and Ariana make more sense than her and Sandoval ever mm. did. And it felt like a real closure moment.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time even picturing them together. I have a hard time picturing Tom and Kristen together.
Yeah, like I can't remember it.
Me neither.
Unless I get some sort of like flashback or like watch past episodes, but that their energy just always had like a really grimy aura. Mm-hmm. Whenever they would enter a room, like the whole mood would shift. There was like, oh my God, someone found Kristen's Vine account from 2013. Ugh. I'll have to send it to you because it's still active. Like you can find it as like a URL online. My God. And all of the uploads are from the season 2, 2013, like filming era where it came out that she and Jax had slept together. Uh-huh. So it's like pre that. And she has like a couple vines that she uploaded with like Stassi and Katie. Uh-huh. And then suddenly they disappear from the vines and it's just like her and Sandoval.
Whoa.
And they're all like, they, I think we're trying to make like comedy vines, but none of them are really that funny.
Oh my God. It is. I have to see this.
It's a time capsule to a much darker place, but a place that everyone should visit if given the chance. Yeah. I'm going to send it to you. Like I need, remind me like immediately after we stop recording, because God forbid she gets wind of this and takes it down.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's really, it's like the exact moment in history that you would want to see from the perspective of like, I'm just going to try and be chill on social media. Yeah. Everyone goes to Lala's showcase and I'd forgotten that this was like a thing that was going to happen.
Yeah, me too. There wasn't much of a setup for it actually in this episode.
Yeah, like they had maybe talked about it in one scene like four episodes ago.
I loved actually back on Kristen walking into this place. I was like, wow, she walks into literally every room like she's experiencing the reveal on Trading Spaces. Like she's like walks in and looks at everything.
And also she like walks hard into place. Like it's like she plows into places and like really leads with her entire head and shoulders mm-hmm. in front of body. And like it's a really like unique Dodie walking style.
It's either that or she just materializes out of nowhere.
Yeah, just like shocked but down for whatever comes her way.
I love, but she walks into Lala's thing like that, and then Lala makes that comment about the cameras that I thought was kind of annoying. She's like, I'm just gonna act like it's for my home video collection, but actually producers are watching in to, because they're talking about a record label or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, there's like a camera crew here filming you.
Yeah,
like as you speak.
Mm-hmm. And you're in LA, and there's probably record labels here who could come see your show.
Yeah. And I was like, is this like, are you live streaming this on like Facebook or YouTube? Like, yeah. I'm unclear on like how they're gonna tune in. Uh-huh. But also I love too that Randall like put this whole, like paid for her to have this showcase.
Yeah.
And then I love that he's not there. He had to take the girls to the Bahamas, uh-huh. which is chic.
It is very chic. I mean, I would be there to support.
Yeah. I would want to be there to support as well. But he hasn't really been on camera on the show.
That's true. I guess he just doesn't want that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would be there off camera.
Yeah. Just be like, blur my face out. Yeah. Like, you're not, like, don't ever pan to me, but yeah. like, I'll be here. Maybe Randall tuned in on one of the cameras.
That's what it was.
He was
the label. Him.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to set this up, but I also want to tune in, uh-huh. but I don't want to be there. So I'll just like pay an extra grand to uh-huh. like have it all set up for me. Because like, I watched this twice. And I can't decide if Lala's performance was good or not.
I can't remember that there was actually music. Like when Sheena does it, I have the hook in my head of mm-hmm. Good as Gold. Like that's going to stick with me forever. I wouldn't be able to sing for you what Lala just did.
Yeah, I have no idea what the second song was.
Yeah. The first one was about her dad.
Yeah.
She stripped during. I feel like she could have done that on the next one.
I know. That was a wild way to like honor, uh-huh. but like you got to do you.
Yeah, let her. She can do it.
I don't.
She looks great.
She looks her body's insane.
Yeah.
Her abs.
They're nuts.
They are truly. I was like, that goes on my vision board of like, really this jealous. Is what I want. Yeah. She looked like a wealthy, beautiful housewife.
She did.
With the body of like the mistress that gets the Range Rover. Mm-hmm. It was a true, like the whole look came together.
It's pretty
amazing.
And
the hair color was working.
Yeah. I feel like her performance was good. I mean, the music itself isn't memorable, but she did a good job. And
yeah,
she sold it to me.
I couldn't tell if she's singing with like backing vocals or if production, like in the editing room, they put like the song in the background, but it just sounded, it wasn't like Sheena's performance in season one where you like really feel like you're in it. Like I very much felt like I was tuning in on the YouTube, like watching from a separate location. And the energy of the room seemed kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like a slow pan across the audience and everyone's crying.
Yeah. Ariana's clutching her brother, like weeping, which I appreciated. Yeah, she really, I was here for the whole look. I love Sheena styling her in a blazer because Sheena's like so into blazers right now.
That was brave of Lala to let Sheena style anything.
Yeah. I love Sheena explaining it. She's like, and you don't even have to like button it up. You could just like leave it loose and then like maybe take it off. And like it doesn't, you don't have to commit to it. And like really explaining a blazer. Because I think Sheena's like all red, like blazer working girl moment is the most powerful look Sheena's ever served on a confessional.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Jack says, okay, the whole cast is like having stomach issues. Because Jax enters, and I think it's like from Mexico.
I had that once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, like a Montezuma's Revenge, or yeah, was it drinking the water or something?
I ate a salad. No, I got a quesadilla that had, he thought I wanted lettuce in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so sick for 2 days. So I felt for all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know how they were waiting tables feeling like that.
Waiting tables. Lala had a fucking showcase. Uh-huh. I would not be able to have a showcase if I was
showcase. Oh my god.
Lala's okay, Sheena like gives a concert. Lala gives a showcase. Uh-huh. And there's a very big difference between the two. Lala also says, so she has like a real talk about alcohol with Stassi. And I'm loving like Lala's like alcohol journey.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like the realizations, the fact that someone on the show would willingly admit to like having a problem with booze, mm-hmm, is a big leap forward.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like a domino chain with them. Because
yeah,
it's. I mean, James maybe unwillingly,
mm-hmm,
is now sober, but I was inspired by Lala.
Yeah, I was really inspired by her.
Because she was like, I got the feeling she was going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, and just like, I think she probably does have a short fuse, mm-hmm, in general. But when you add booze to the mix, like, and you're in that headspace, I mean, I feel like we've seen that with Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's been the best example of like, just cannot keep her shit together.
Yeah.
When she has a cocktail in her system.
No, I mean, there's signs with all Stassi, her dark passenger moments.
Yeah, I'm like...
kind of classic, like, babe. Problem.
And when she also is like, she's like, I mean, it's so crazy because like, I know that alcohol like makes me into like, gets me into a dark place, but like, here I am drinking again. Uh-huh. Like, isn't that fucking weird? And yeah, it's like, no, that's alcoholism.
Yeah, and also getting ulcers from alcohol is a problem.
Yeah.
And like that they are all taking half shots. I was amazed that that's their solution. But mm-hmm, Lala's taking the bull by the horns and she's like doing it properly.
Yeah, like a proactive approach, mm-hmm, to like an alcohol problem. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting because I feel like everyone has way more respect for Lala than they have for James.
Yeah.
And they now crave Lala's acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you could be onto something about, mm-hmm, the domino effect.
But will the show exist if that happens? That's my question.
Yeah. Like, do they, and that's been always a central question, uh-huh, about this show's like longevity factor or even like its entertainment factor.
Yeah.
Is like, is it this fun when people are all getting along or in like a healthy place?
No, it's not. And alcohol plays a huge role in this show. Oh my God. Also, right after she says that, did she say I'm an alcoholic? She basically did.
She basically did.
Right after it flips to her confessional and she has one of those prop cocktails next to her. I was like, take that off now.
Yeah. Do a water. A water with lemon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I want to like collect. I was thinking of like trying to find the exact plastic cocktails that they have because, mm-hmm, they don't shake or move or anything. I mean, it's obviously a prop. I want all of their prop cocktails.
I know. I know a woman who works at some restaurants on Fairfax, and we were chatting last time I saw her, and she also is a mixologist, like on the side, but, mm-hmm, does like cocktail books and stuff. And I was talking to her about my podcast and she's like, oh, I've styled cocktails for them before. So I think she's been on set before and styled like cocktails that you see them.
That's amazing.
With. Yeah. Cause I think those are just like food coloring, yeah, in glasses.
Exactly.
James's is like, his is black.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, dark.
Well, yeah, it's like a whole personality profile in a mixed drink.
Mm-hmm.
I love those.
There's an artistry there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, she's a talent.
She's a true raw talent. But yeah, and then I love to when Tom and Ariana were talking about and like just downloading on the day that they had together, mm-hmm, or like the days that they had, like Ariana's experience and stuff, and like I really love them.
Me too. He's they're good partners.
They
he's
are.
Really, he's like, I didn't even check in with you. Like, that's, I love that. That's really sweet.
And they love each other and like are best friends.
They really do. I was sad when he said like a couple episodes ago, like it would be a deal breaker if they don't have kids, but I really hope not because I think they're the most stable couple.
Yeah, and I don't buy the kids like storyline.
Right.
I feel like that's more like forced upon them.
Maybe,
or like in lieu of a storyline, they kind of always have to fall back on that.
I hope so.
Yeah. Cause I feel like, don't you think they would have chatted about this before buying a house together?
Yeah, probably.
And I mean, you never know with these people on the show.
That's true.
There's a huge chance that they could have never talked about it. But I feel like, because I think the way they handled Miami Girl was very indicative of like their relationship.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we are not addressing this. And I got the sense that it very much happened, but it was like, we're not like talking about this on camera and I'm letting it go and like, we'll deal with it privately.
Yeah. It's healthy.
Yeah.
It's great to see such a stark contrast between super healthy and super unhealthy relationships on this show. Because this show is always a mirror to me and I strive to be like Tom and Ariana.
Yeah, I think that they probably have the most ideal relationship out of everyone. And like, it seems like I was crying at this point when I watched it the first time. Like, I felt very touched and like moved by their emotional connection with each other. And like knowing and remembering how it was in season two when Tom and Kristen were going through all that shit and like, how he was hanging out with Ariana and they were like, it all the puzzle pieces like clicked into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. We stan.
We do.
Wait, also, we didn't talk about when Kristen has to go back to the apartment to pick Ariana up.
Uh-huh.
And like Tom was giving her the tour.
Of like, I put suede on the walls or whatever. Yeah.
And like the backsplash and like the dishwasher and like registering them in that space together felt like coming home, but not necessarily in a good way.
It's quite, that's the moment where it clicked for me that it was the same apartment.
Yeah.
Which I had so fully put it out of my head. But I'm happy that the vibe is less like, I mean, that was a sad vibe.
That IKEA coffee table scene, I'll never forget that. That might be the thing that I like think about the most. And like, I have put, like, I've made a point to put all furniture and anything I get together myself. And I think a lot of that is due to that very specific coffee table scene in Vanderpump Rules. Like, I have to be my own Dodie in that situation and like not depend on another person to do something for me. It taught me a lot.
It's beautiful to see how far he's come.
I know.
In the same space.
In the same space with a backsplash and a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. I love Kristen being like, why are you putting money into something you don't own?
Yeah, right? It's not that much money.
No. I mean, they pay probably cumulatively like $900 a month for that apartment.
Yeah, it can't be very expensive.
Mm-mm. That's why they were able to buy a house
that
looks nice as fuck.
Uh-huh.
$2 million? Like 1.8.
Wow. Okay.
That's pretty nuts. Fucking, that's a lot of money.
Shit. Now I respect them even more because like they can squirrel money away and stick in that place. They'll hold out to like get their goal.
Yeah.
I'm all about them.
I know.
That's what I want to do.
I really like, I watched this show with a Susie Orman's voice in the back of my head thinking who she would like and who she would take a lot of umbrage with. And I think she would have only positive things to say about Tom and Ariana.
I agree.
And I just, anyone that Susie would like, I like.
I love Susie. Young, Dumb, and Broke. What is that book called? I read it in high school.
She has a book called Young, Dumb, and Broke.
Yeah, something like that.
Does she
like
talk
that.
About her own or financial broke, journey?
Beautiful and something. I don't remember what it was.
I got to get into that.
It's so good. It taught me how to use credit cards when I was 18.
That's so, I really could have used any sort of guidance in that perspective. I just discovered her book, Women and Money, which she re-released after like Me Too started up. Uh-huh. And like she came out of retirement to like start speaking to women about their like financials.
Wow, that's cool.
Like as a reaction to like the Me Too movement, which is really admirable.
Yeah,
and
that's
like
awesome.
I've learned so much. Like, she is my guru at this point.
I'm glad we have a financial advisor in common.
Mm-hmm. At the end of Ariana and Tom's beautiful moment, Ariana goes, "Let's have a shot for my dad." Uh-huh. Which I was like, whoa, I didn't see this going to that place.
Me neither.
But, like, I'll try and leave my judgments at the door and like you guys do what you need to do.
They can bet Lala strips for her dad and Ariana has a shot for her dad.
How do you honor your parents? Raquel's mom and dad, or no, her, not her dad. Oh my God. Raquel's mom and her sister are at the puppy shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really into like her mom's look that's completely changed from when we first saw her.
Yeah.
And honestly, the sister's look kind of did too.
I don't know if I registered the sister.
The sister was in a flashback, or was in an old episode when James and Lala, I think, were like first dating. They went to go visit and like have a family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister had a little bit more of like a rockabilly, like Suicide Girls vibe. But I feel like she and the mom both got perms and now here they are at the puppy party.
Also, I noticed about her mom though that I was like, wow, she and Stassi's mom are both flirting with their children's significant others.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, that is so weird.
And
actually maybe Brittany's mom is almost like that because she'll forgive Jax anything.
Yeah. But
they all kind of like deny their daughter's realities.
They do.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Like it makes me uncomfortable to have like the mom narrative of even her flirting with Peter, which I think all of that, I get the sense that it's harmless fun, but like I would be really thrown off guard if my mom did that, which she would just never do.
Yeah,
like, I would too. I guess maybe it's like depends on the kind of mom that you grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think like what kind of mom would I be? Like, would I be like flirty and salacious? I don't know. I can't say. I hope not.
I hope not.
But like you throw like a Peter at me when I'm like, you know, 55, 60.
Then maybe you would.
Maybe I'm like,
yeah,
I'm going to shoot my shot while the game is still playing. Whose mom is like the darkest mom to you?
Oh, I kind of think Brittany's mom. I mean, I think Stassi's mom is just awful. But she's awful enough that you can see that and detach. I think Brittany's mom has more of like an insidious kind of darkness where It's quiet and Brittany doesn't realize that that's happening to her, you know?
Like it's a bit, it's the stage mom.
Yeah.
That's manipulated you for most of your life and pushed you like towards a situation.
Mm-hmm. Like helping you choose situations that are really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. And I mean, Stassi's mom is clearly jealous of her or like resents her. But again, like it comes out so much while she's interacting with her that Stassi has gotten wise and she's like, I think, just doesn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas Brittany may never do that.
No, I don't think so. I think Brittany cares a lot about what her mom and even her grandma, her mama, thinks of her relationship and her life. And then to see it's like multi-generational, because I'm sure like, I mean, that kind of attitude towards men in relationship just gets passed down and passed down over time. Mm-hmm. To see it being like Suspiria'd onto Brittany is shocking.
Yeah.
And I love Sherry's facelift.
It's nuts. Her lipstick choices also, like, I love them. I live for them.
She singularly brought back the frosted lip. Like, if you see that in the pages of a fashion magazine,
Just know that you may thank Sherry Cartwright directly for the resuscitation of that trend.
It's wild.
She's a fully a new face. Uh-huh. Which I like, I respect that.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Like, her glam is on point, but she is like the queen, the mistress of darkness. Mm-hmm. Stassi talks a lot in her book too, like about her relationship with her dad, which mm-hmm. seems to be like really strong. Like, he seems to kind of be the one that took her around to do things, like how she discovered passions in life. And that was something that I was very at once jealous of, but also it was like, oh, that makes like sense given mm-hmm. like her, what seems like a strained relationship with her mom.
Yeah, it's good she had somebody.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what, like how it, I guess maybe I don't know how it informs like her choice in men, because mm-hmm. that has like historically been so terrible. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't really get into that.
Yeah, that's actually hard to untangle. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a theory and I don't have one.
Yeah, I don't really either. Just have to fill in the blanks like creatively. Yeah. Did you know that Raquel was an artist?
Oh, her dog painting. It made me want to cry. I mean,
of like happiness?
No, just like everything about it's sort of like a Britney Spears kind of thing where I'm like, I feel for her and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's sweet. It was sweet. It was a good painting.
It was a good painting.
She did it well.
It looked like, it reminded me of like coloring books.
It did.
Like it looked like a Precious Moments drawing. It
completely did.
Which took me back to like my own childhood. Yeah. And like, but Raquel is living like in an 8-year-old existence.
I know. And she's like, she's so earnest that I really love her. But it's, I'm always just like amazed by how little she's registering.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
She does wear
she makes
now.
Me really sad.
Yeah. It's a, there is a sadness. Like when she's like, Graham is so happy that you all came to this party. Mm-hmm. And then Ariana in the confessional is like, sometimes when people talk about how their pets feel, they're uh-huh. just talking about them. And it's I was true. Like, holy fuck, that is true.
It's very true.
But like, Raquel just had this party to like try and have friends.
Yeah. She's lonely.
She lives in a lonely existence.
It's really shocking to me. And she, I don't know if she, again, she's like not registering it. Mm-hmm. And did you see when Sheena was pinning the tail on the puppy? Mm-hmm. And Raquel handed her a glass of rosé that she had to shoot, right? And then, Sheena put the glasses on or her blindfold on and then tried to hand the glass back to Raquel. And Raquel like didn't even notice it. And so she had to hold the wine glass while she was pinning the tail on. Ugh. And I was like, that's kind of Raquel's whole existence. Like
that
she means really well, but then it kind of like ends there.
Yeah. She's just like, she's at once like living in the moment, but her moment is not the same moment that everyone else is living in. She's in like a different dimension. Uh-huh. Because she's an alien.
Yeah, you can see it in her eyes. They're like deep. There's a lot of blackness behind her eyes.
Yeah. She's had some edginess as of late because she does wear a necklace now that says Bambi on it. Uh-huh. So she's like trying to reappropriate the like Bambi-eyed bitch comment. Uh-huh. So I'm like, does Raquel know what's happening? I don't know. Like, it's really hard to say.
I can't tell.
We need to do like some testing on her.
Uh huh. I'm going to be endlessly fascinated by her.
Yeah. I hope for more.
Mm-hmm. And she keeps trying. That's the thing. If she came to me and asked me to come to that puppy party, I wouldn't be able to say no to her. I was kind of amazed that people were able to like shut her down.
Yeah. Well, I was amazed that she would materialize out of thin air. Like, she literally came out of nowhere and then appears with a flyer inviting you to like come to the other side.
Well,
I would
James
go
is
just
waiting
to
in
go.
The fucking car.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Just jamming out to his own tunes. Parked in like a red zone. I would go to the puppy shower just to see. Uh-huh. But that's like my personality. Like, I'm down for like whatever the adventure mm-hmm. may hold. And it could be good material down the road.
It could. I want to buy it. I wonder if she would sell. Oh my God, I hope she sells her art. I want that. I want to buy that puppy.
I want to buy that like puppy. I think she needs to do like some merch or like Graham merch or some original designs.
She should.
Because I'm also fascinated by like Raquel's artistic abilities. Mm-hmm.
She could be the new Lisa Frank.
I mean, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It would give her something to do while she's just like locked away in that apartment.
Uh-huh.
spending quality time with Graham.
I'm glad she has that dog though.
Yeah, it gives her something to focus on.
She needs somebody.
Yeah.
Because James is not there for anyone else.
No, and I don't think, like, I just can't picture their relationship as, like, being sexual. Like, I don't know what, I feel like I know kind of what Raquel gets out of the relationship or thinks she gets out of the relationship. But I don't know what James is getting other than maybe, like, a beard or, like, I don't know.
I think that she's easy for him to control, basically.
Because
that he's controlling and he you know, he needs to be doted on all the time and she's there for that. But that's what makes me sad. It's like he's kind of taking advantage of her, her sweetness.
And like she's, it's like having, it's like a mommy. That then he can put the reins on her and it's not mommy who's going to get like drunk and be like a nightmare mommy. It's like Raquel who will like take care of you at all times, but you tell mommy what to do.
Exactly. Oh my God. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. And that ties back to the, you're like her saying you're his mother figure to Lisa.
Yeah.
And Lisa saying, no, you're his mother.
I mean, I think I've totally blacked out the like, James's mom of it all when thinking about who the darkest mother was, but yes, I think she is,
she's the darkest,
she's the darkest
100%,
but like that can go without even being said because it's in a whole other realm. But yeah, her and Sherry and Dana are all like competing.
They're all bad
We have not gotten to see any other real like moms on the show. Like, I mean, Katie's mom is around, but we never really get a sense of her vibe.
Do you think that Lisa is a proxy mom for all of them? They were all searching for a mother figure.
I think so.
That might be why they were drawn in.
I think that she gives them some sort of attention or encouragement that they haven't gotten in their lives.
That's amazing.
And they crave it, but then she can also control them.
Yeah. That's her power. Wow.
Because Stassi says also in the book that like Lisa from day one has always encouraged them like to find their passions and like run with it, which is something that I guess I never thought about when like thinking about that, what their relationship with her looks like.
Yeah.
But then that totally tracks.
It does.
It's all like broken birds from broken homes found a new mother.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. We've uncovered a lot about their psychology.
Back at Sir, everyone's pretending to work again. Like Ariana, like shaking the thing and being like, I hate having to work when I'm hungover. I was like, not even you can sell this lie. like praying that next season they like give it up and like allow them to all have like some sort of graduation ceremony. And then we like really just understand that they no longer have to be waiters or waitresses. Lala reveals she's never having a drink again to Sheena, which is a twist to see Sheena being the one to like take on that admission.
Yeah.
Given her like history with Shay and like her lack of understanding about like addiction.
I wonder why she chose Sheena.
She was like the closest person nearby.
That's it.
They both were like camera ready in that moment. Yeah. I mean, Sheena's just like kind of nodding along, supportive of anything, really.
That's good. It's she needs to make up for her support of Shay, because that was not good.
Yeah.
Also, like, just rewind to her talking about having never had an orgasm with any of them. She constantly goes back and digs on everybody she's been with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
She always is, like, throwing them under the bus. But it's like, I think it's a way to take her power back from situations where like men have, or she's allowed men to have too much power over her life.
That's true.
And it's like the only way that she can. But then when you realize like she's just never had an orgasm and like doesn't even masturbate, she said.
Did she not?
No, she said on her podcast like she doesn't masturbate.
No way.
And like, I think that might have changed recently, but like up until a certain point, it was like she was living like an orgasmless existence.
Wow, that is bonkers.
But yet projecting so much sex and sexuality out into the world.
Whoa.
It's like performative sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Was her first orgasm with the, what's his name? The new guy.
Rob or Adam?
Adam.
I think she said it was, but
I wouldn't
then
be surprised. He's pretty hot.
He's hot, but I've also heard that he's closeted.
No, really?
And that like this whole relationship with Sheena is just a beard to like cover that up.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is fascinating to me that a show that takes place in West Hollywood and celebrates Pride so explicitly every year has multiple closeted people like on this cast, or kind of like any sort of like homosexual activity is alluded to, but in a bit of a shameful way and like brushed under the rug.
Yeah, it really is.
And becomes like a punchline for a joke about whatever character.
It's true.
Like when you think back to like Jax and John from Miami.
Yeah. Oh, that was nuts.
Yeah.
The guy he modeled for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he like lived with.
And James had his own thing.
James and Logan, which is never fully explored, like really like prodded the surface and then ran away from that. And then the Adam thing, which has not been anything addressed on the show, but I feel like people on like message boards and just like other things. It's just, it's a very interesting.
I like this theory though.
Yeah.
Sorry, we were talking about Lala coming out as an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
To Sheena. Well,
go
you gotta
Lala.
Say it to somebody.
Yeah. Sheena's a good person to just like tell things to. She'll like look at you and nod, but like it's also like she's good at pretending to be engaged and pretending to care. Yeah, I'm so intrigued by like who is sober, how Lala's sobriety really fits into another season of Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, maybe I would love if it actually tracks her doing that, because so far I don't feel like I'm seeing James's recovery process at all.
Yeah, and I don't know if he is like having any sort of recovery process.
He's not. He might just be not having a drink.
Yeah,
basically.
I wonder if that would be a way for them to find any sort of like common ground again, is being like going through whatever process they need to go through and like being able to make amends with each other. Because I would like to see them be friends again.
Yeah, me too.
I miss their friendship.
Yeah. Well, with both of them sober, maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's something to look forward to. Also, like, there's a meeting right across the street. I'm shocked that it hasn't happened sooner.
Oh my god. Yeah, right across like the street from Sir.
It's like the that nexus is like of alcoholism and recovery all in the same spot.
That is like poetic.
It is.
That's a universe just like blessing the world with that juxtaposition.
Yeah, across the street and next door, actually.
Holy shit. Center.
It's kind of wild.
Fucking wild. Katie's outfit to take Schwartz to the bank has left a lasting impression on my brain that I'll never forget.
Me neither. I couldn't handle it.
The stiff beret.
It was fucking nuts.
The like Missoni knockoff sweater, a James May tour shirt, and then a camera angle that was incredibly unforgiving.
Seriously. It was like on the stick shift or whatever.
Yeah, like has no one ever taken a car selfie? Like you need to get your best angles in the car.
At first, I couldn't tell if that hat had a brim, and then I saw, and then she turned her head around more, and I was like, oh my god, no, it's just a beret.
It was a full beret. She cosplayed, like, a Bonnie and Clyde moment. When she pulled her purse out and she's like, you can just use my bag. And she pulled her purse out. I audibly gasped to myself at how hideous that purse was.
It was awful.
It was awful. And the thought that she walked out of any sort of establishment and that was her accessory with that outfit. Yeah. I was like, I had a seizure.
I know. It was shaped like a horse's feed bag.
Yeah.
But with like a weird floral print on it.
Like a paisley metallic leather backpack.
With a cinch
with a drawstring. Oh. I was like, you cannot be serious.
No, she pushed me over the edge.
Does she not? I'm like, she just doesn't know, I guess.
No, she has no idea.
She thinks that she is being really chic.
Mm-hmm.
And with all, I mean, there was a guest on this that was like, name, like, that was just like, Katie doesn't deserve to be on this show anymore. Like, name one iconic thing that she's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly like, there's been nothing iconic. Like, but her only iconic things are really like her fashion and style missteps.
Yeah.
Like the orange hair is iconic.
It is.
And this car outfit and backpack were also iconic.
They were. It's enough to keep me like hanging on to her.
Yeah. And the plane outfit, trade me. Uh-huh. That was a really iconic Katie look. So I guess I'm now in it and for that element of Katie, like just not being able to nail the outfit and showing up with some sort of hideous accessory.
Yeah. I mean, because putting on a hat like that is such a choice. She really can't have a clue what's going on.
A backpack like that is also a huge choice.
It's a major choice.
That's like, you saw it, you were attracted to it, you walked up to it, picked it up, felt it, examined the price tag, and decided to buy it.
Uh-huh.
It was a series of decisions that mean something.
I feel like her style is like a rummage sale after Coachella.
Yeah, it's the bargain basement, like Melrose, like Avenue East of like, because I've had to now, living close by there, deal with everyone's like Coachella signs of like, time to get your Coachella shopping done, like pay rent or shop for Coachella. Uh-huh. And it's all just like a fringe nightmare beret fiesta of leather backpacks. And that is where Katie goes to style herself.
It is shocking.
I mean,
I always feel like Sandoval, if I think of somebody fashion wise, I mean, well, Lisa looked like Carmen Sandiego in the last episode.
She looked like a pimp.
She was crazy. And then Sandoval like is like edging on steampunk at all times. Mm-hmm. But they're both at least like put together
and consistent in what they are gonna, like, you know, you're gonna get a look and it may not be your taste, mm-hmm. but it works for them, mm-hmm. and their personality.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's style is chaotic evil.
It is. Maybe it's you know, like, style does reflect the personality, and that's what's going on the inside.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because I think Ariana's style has gotten really good. Like, mm-hmm. I was into that white top that she was wearing with the cutoffs. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, it was like a voluminous, like, avant-garde top.
That was nice.
It was nice. And Kristen's style is now just, like, it is just, like, Vanessa Hudgens at Coachella, uh-huh. which I can appreciate for Dodie.
Dodie's the only person who, in reality, looks like one of those fashion sketches. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, her body is kind of that. And so,
just, like, flingy.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
In those poses. I'm fine with her wearing anything. I'll be happy.
And she's, like, trying always to dress like Kate Hudson in Almost Famous, but it just doesn't really, like, hit the mark. But I appreciate it. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Schwartz is just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so done with him. Like, I can barely even talk about his like stupid briefcase fucking shenanigan bullshit storyline. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sick of him.
Fire him.
I agree.
I'm over it.
There was a moment where, because I find his voice kind of sexy,
mm-hmm.
there was a while where I was letting that keep me, and now I'm like, I just can't anymore.
Mm-mm. I'm done.
He's like a middle schooler in an adult's body.
Yeah. Getting, like, winning and having so much success for really, truly doing nothing.
Seriously.
And it's, like, it's aggravating And it's a brutal reminder of the kind of culture we live in.
Yeah.
And it has infuriated me.
Yeah. He's like, he's even with the cash thing, like it bothered me so much. He's like a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid.
Yeah.
He tries to be a cutesy pie.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually so infuriating.
It's disgusting. The part that I did love about the cash suitcase were Lisa and Ken's reactions. Yeah. Ken cackled.
He did. He was filming it.
He filmed the entire thing, uh-huh. Cackled. Lisa, like, also, I think, loved the gesture.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking back to, like, their long lives that I feel like they've committed some, like, serious crimes mm-hmm. in their time. And this reminded them of, like, a caper that the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I haven't seen a suit full of cash since I, like, sold AK-47s uh-huh. to, like, an evil dictator.
I loved her commenting on the small bills,
yeah.
which I clocked, actually, as soon as he opened it.
$5 bills? Yeah. What the fuck? Because 50 large would just be, like, a stack, like a 6-inch stack.
Yeah.
You could hand it in an envelope.
You could.
Like, I watch Sopranos. I know what that shit looks like.
I watch Below Deck.
Yeah. And this was, like, an abomination.
It was.
Also, like, fuck you, Tom Schwartz. Like, no one's going to rob you. You literally have a camera crew filming you yeah. as you do all this.
Yeah.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Who is charmed by this anymore?
I'm not.
I have to fucking draw the line.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're with me.
I am. He's like that, all those, I don't know. He's like a hand buzzer. When you shake your hand, it's got a buzzer in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's that kind of
a bad surprise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bad surprise. A little squirting flower on your lapel.
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole personality to
Invisible
me.
Ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I call that on Babe Podcast, I call his like brand of lols a vape lol. Because uh-huh. it's like YouTubers, like they're like people that are really into like vaping hardcore. Uh-huh. Like they think that they're being so fucking funny, uh-huh. but it's like a true lol desert.
Uh-huh.
And it just becomes like a vape lol.
It is.
And he is like the king of vape lols.
He's blowing chunky clouds.
Yeah. Just like fat fucking clouds of nols all over your breathing space. You have to like walk through and like smell like of sick vanilla, like cherry vanilla. Ken's laughter brought me back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the fact of like him dropping that, like Ken was transported to another place in time.
He was so happy.
He was in the south of France in the 70s
mm-hmm.
watching like a drug deal go bad.
He got off.
Yeah, he did. He and Lisa like fully like cosplayed and like fucked like crazy that night
they
with
did.
All that money. They poured it out on the bed and then just like made love.
I love that picture.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then like they reminisce, like went down memory lane and like uncut, like talked about an instance from the past that they like agreed that they would never speak of again.
Mm-hmm.
But then now they like had a healing moment where they could talk about like the bloodbath
mm-hmm.
and like really feel like they made peace with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ken sprung to life.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's sort of like just there and I don't
know.
I was actually just watching an episode of Real Housewives, not to like crosstalk.
Oh, I'm all here for the crosstalk.
When they were watching the guy play the piano at his house, what's his name?
David Foster.
David Foster. And Ken was just like not having it.
Mm-hmm.
I love him doing that. I love how much he doesn't care in most situations. So it was really exciting to see him like light up like this.
Yeah. When something makes Ken do anything, it's exciting.
He's seen it all.
He's really seen it all, and he has no time for just like anything boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has no energy really left. So he really has to siphon it off and mm-hmm. like only give in to what truly gives him joy or anger
mm-hmm.
or like ignites his inner passions,
mm-hmm.
which is like if you fuck with Lisa or you bring him a suitcase full of money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Lisa got off on talking about the check bouncing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She loved doing that.
She loved that. And I think that is a fake storyline.
It probably is.
Like, I just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it did happen, but it's like, I don't believe that there were any stakes involved in it. But yeah, Lisa, I like seeing her put everyone in their place and reestablishing herself as like the dominant matriarch of the crew. She also needed to like wrangle back some sort of like power.
She did.
After being like brutalized on Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Which I think is only going to get worse for her.
It probably will.
Like, I feel like the receipts will come out and she's going to end up looking really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love a takedown.
I'm fine with it.
You could talk about Lucy Juicy Apple Goosey for the rest of my fucking life and I would eat every single second of that drama up. I feel like there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who really care about that storyline and those who are really upset by it. Where do you fall?
I care.
Okay. I care so much. I'm like more passionate about that storyline than I am about like my relationship with some of my family members.
Oh my god.
Like, it gives me everything I need.
I might not go that far, but I'm almost there.
Fair. Katie and Stassi go to the Oracle's house. Andrea Yates Garcia, who everyone needs to go to AndreaYatesGarcia.com and see the gif of her that is the only thing on her website.
That witchy gif.
The witchy gif and like an a way to contact her, but there's nothing else.
I'm obsessed with her.
I need to visit her. I'm ready for her to do like a full procedure on me. Like, I'm sold.
She like that is basically the life I lived between 2005 and 2008 while I was taking ayahuasca.
You were just like,
I experienced that nonstop and I was whisked right back.
Oh my god. And like, that was an essential part of your community.
And I had felt a lot of connection with her.
Mm-hmm.
She had those winged penises on her altar.
Yeah.
I have some penis sculptures myself.
Yeah.
She's a kindred spirit.
She is. You guys are like connected from like past lives.
I loved how she enunciated too. I wonder if she was, I was like, did she take her name Oracle from the Matrix? Because she spoke kind of like her too.
She did.
Remember how the Oracle in the Matrix goes right as rain or like with the T's?
It's a very, like, if you're an Oracle, you really need to make things crystal clear.
You do. You have to enunciate.
It's ASMR.
She's an ASMR queen.
Yeah.
Like, if the magic's not working, I'm going to leave relaxed anyway.
And just like good auditory, like bells. And I loved that Stassi brought a bottle of Prosecco to this as though like they were going to have a drink of some sort. And I couldn't figure out if like the Oracle told her, like, bring something that represents like this negativity for you. But then I was like, I don't think Stassi thinks that like Prosecco represents like negativity.
No, I don't think so either.
I think she was like, let's bring it. Like, I always drink in every scene of Vanderpump Rules, so like, why not here?
She wanted to have it.
And the Oracle did not incorporate the Prosecco into the exorcism journey.
Which is probably good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Oracle, if I had to make a choice between going to the wall unit air conditioner therapist and the Oracle, I will 100% go to Oracle.
1,000%. There's nothing that would make me feel good about that therapist's office.
No. But I need that experience of the Oracle.
Yeah. I'm actively looking into it. I have a lot of things of my own that I need to block. I feel like you said it where the show is a mirror, like holds up a mirror to yourself and your own relationships and like personality traits. And I felt that a lot just within like certain moments.
I kind of want to go and bring a guest with me and do a test and see if she was blocking Katie specifically out of the house or if she does it to everybody.
That's a good, that would be a really good experiment. Test. Yeah. When Stassi walked in and she was like, I probably have a lot of bad energy. And the Oracle goes, oh, okay. Katie, I'm going to need you to just stand outside.
Maybe, Maybe Katie walked up with the beret on and she was like, hold on, and she can't come in here with that on.
No, the Oracle was like, and blew, blew it off her head. I feel like she did put like a protective ball around herself and Stassi and in the home and then allowed Katie to just like sit there. Because she didn't even like address her. I don't think she ever even made eye contact with her. And like she fully just like surgically removed her energetically like from the space. She did. She like whispered to the sage like, protect us from Tequila Katie. And then just like there was a shield.
Oh my god.
Her blowing that beret. She needs to like do some sort of spell where like anytime Katie puts on a bad outfit, there's just inexplicably like a whoosh of air that blows whatever it is off of her body. Oh my god. I also wonder how much she charges for a session.
Oh, it's worth it, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah. I feel like she probably is on a sliding scale based on like how much you really need.
Yeah.
And like what your background is.
Yeah. I would expect to pay, I don't know, $100 to go to her.
Yeah, I would at least, I feel like it's anywhere between $100 and like $350.
Wow. I mean, it's still worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you can get like, you can get pretty pricey when it comes to any sort of like shamanic, like surgery type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It seemed to be working too.
Yeah.
Stassi was crying.
Crying. She says in her book it was like the most intense thing she's ever filmed.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Katie actually did have a reaction. She reacted to something in when they were in the circle that the shaman did when she went, whew, and like pushed something out. I think Katie felt it.
Yeah. She opened her eyes.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. It made me believe.
I fully believe.
Uh-huh.
Andrea Yates Garcia, a queen. When she's like, what brings you in today? And then Stassi pauses. I was like halfway expecting her to be like, I'm an alcoholic. Uh-huh. And also Stassi's demon is just like a hot, dark cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I got chills when the Oracle chanted. Yeah. I mean, what an incredible journey to go on.
It was awesome.
Yeah. This episode really did it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I could rewatch it again after talking about this. At least the Oracle scene I want to see again.
Yeah. It was filled, like watching it the second time, I was like, really, I was fully experiencing joy, which is like a feeling and emotion that's been missing for months now when it comes to this show.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, I'm like just back in like a safe place. It feels like the tides are turning. Uh-huh. Like we're out of Mercury retrograde.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and like back on track. The universe is like shifting back into place. Man, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Simon J. Haas.
Love. For those of you who are patrons, we're going to jump into the bonus episode and talk all about Next Level Basic.
I'm so excited.
So if you want to hear that bonus app, you can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, because I know I'm feeling, because I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.